columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Leading off with the big story of the day, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and Dima.
Well, you know, I think that obviously to get back to Royce Freeman and Lindsay, Mr. Lindsay.
We're back, Tyler. We're back. We're back. Hi. What's going on, Tyler?
Hello. I am.
There you are.
It's good to see you. It's not good to see you. It's good to hear you.
So you're having technical difficulties.
Yeah, I'm not going to blame anybody, but it wasn't on me, okay?
Well, as long as you're not going to blame anybody.
I'm not going to back the bus up over anybody, okay?
I just want to let people inside. For years, I've done the same thing. Whenever there's a technical problem that's somebody else's fault, I've always said, oh, my bad. So,
well, that's the difference between me and you.
If you ever hear me say my bad, I guarantee you it's somebody else's fault.
There you go.
Well, I do have some stuff on Philip Lindsay today, my friend.
What? What do you mean?
I got to check something first. So while I check something, birdies, tweet today about good old Philip Lindsay, I'm going to check something first, but the big news over the weekend was that of Shelby Harris and Derek Wolfe, and we're going to reflect upon it all, but we do have to say goodbye. Happy trails, number 95, Derek Wolfe. Kevin? Oh, boy.
Mariota goes down. Derek Wolfe, the first to get there. Tannehill throws it away. Derek Wolfe was applying the pressure.
They hand to Williams, and he is brought down behind the line of scrimmage by Derek Wolfe.
Memories like the corners of my
comes the rush. Brissett steps up. Can't get away. And Brissett is slammed down.
Chargers need 9 yards. Rivers in trouble and he sacks. And it was Derek Wolfe.
Mayfield. Oh, batted down right in that passing lane by Derek Wolfe. Mayfield grabbed and torn down. Derek Wolfe.
Scattered picture.
Tyler. 3 million. And $3 million, I guess, in incentives. $3 million guaranteed. And Derek Wolfe is a Raven. What is your reaction?
Man, good for him. I'm actually, I'm really happy he was able to get a reasonable 1 year deal out there. Paying $6 million, about the number that we all thought he was going to get. One of the all-time great Denver Broncos. I put a tweet out this weekend saying that Derek is going to go down as one of the all-time greats. I caught a lot of flack for that, which I was actually a little bit surprised by. When I say all-time great, I mean, you know, the best of the best that's ever played for the Broncos. I don't think that Derek's a Ring of Famer, but I think that he was 2 years away from becoming a Ring of Famer. You know, the difference between 8 years and 10 years, that might have been all the world of difference that it would take to become a Ring of Famer for Derek. But in my mind, you could be an all-time great without being in the Ring of Fame, and he's certainly going to go down on that list.
You were right about his value.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
I mean, so just to recap, we were talking about things, and, you know, Tyler was not – you weren't angry or upset, and we both wanted Derek to be back if it was a possibility. But you said, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth. What did you say about his value?
Well, we were talking about whether he could come back to the Broncos, and in your mind, when we were having this conversation, there was no chance. And I said, I don't know, man. I mean, I think that he's going to get out there. He's going to realize at 31 years old, with all the injuries that he's got, it's the market might not materialize in the way that he wants it to. And I said the exact number that I would not be surprised if the Broncos were willing to pay would be $6 million. So, all reality, I was actually trying to say I want Derek Wolfe back on this team, but Derek caught wind of that and did not like that number. Did not like that number. Engaged me a little bit on Twitter. Everything is great. We actually communicated like real humans do off of Twitter, and we are more than fine. Great friend of mine, but yeah, he certainly at the time did not like the number $6 million. So I think both him and Shelby Harris are both in a little bit of a world of a wake up call right now.
Yeah, we're this is tricky because I know Derek has a lot of fans, rightfully so. So when we were saying the Broncos weren't interested in him no matter what, you know, the Broncos never did make him an offer, Tyler. There wasn't a Broncos offer on the table.
Yep.
I do think, though, I believe had Derek made more overtures going to the Broncos, you never know.
Well, I bet it was as simple as this. I bet if Shelby Harris had signed elsewhere and actually got a deal like he thought he was going to, by the time we got to the end of free agency, just like we did with Shelby Harris, we would have circled back on Derek Wolfe.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, that's my opinion.
Okay. I think they were just, I mean, you know. I respect your opinion. I just listen, Shelby Harris. First of all, you realize Shelby Harris fired Drew Rosenhaus, right?
I know. What a weird deal, man. We haven't had a chance to really talk about that yet. But I mean, Shelby makes the change of agents going into free agency, switches over to the powerhouse Drew Rosenhaus, and then we get a week or so into free agency, and he gets rid of him, moves again because he hasn't found a deal. I mean, that was wow. I mean, he didn't give him a whole lot of time to work.
No, but what they did is they went to the Broncos. They went to the Broncos, not the other way around. They went to the Broncos. The deals on the table for Shelby were it was a bunch of vet minimum, you know, nothing sort of contracts. They went back to the Broncos, and Derek didn't do that.
Okay.
So
Where will Derek Wolfe go down in his legacy in your mind?
Boy, I caught a lot of heat for that over the weekend. I think he's a Ring of Famer.
Oh, you already think he is? See, I think he had to get to that 10-year mark. That's my personal opinion.
For the Broncos?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I think had he gotten an extra 2 years, it would have made the world of difference. But, hey, I hope you're right, man. And I'd be A-okay with it.
Oh, my God. The guy is drafted here, spent 8 years here, won a Super Bowl. I mean, people get caught up in the stats sometimes, and, you know, Derek was asked to do a bunch of different things, Tyler. It wasn't always just go after and get the quarterback. Guy was an unbelievable leader, was a Super Bowl champion. Golly, man, I don't know. If you play for the Broncos for 8 years, then you're a core starter on a Super Bowl champion team. I have no idea how you don't go into the Ring of Fame.
Well, he's certainly going to be he was the Robin to Von Miller's Batman, right? And I think that there's a little bit of danger that when they get back to, because they're both going to be about the same time frame in which they're both going to be eligible. Well, it's going to go immediately to Von, right? And then maybe Derek, maybe.
I don't know, man. So you don't think he's a Ring of Famer?
I think it's a tough sell right now, man. I think there are so many great
Broncos. What do you
have
to do to be a Ring of Famer then,
I don't
man?
Know. Ask Ed McCaffrey what you have to do.
I don't know why it's not.
We could go down the list, and we'll probably come up with 5 to 10 guys that we feel like are bona fide Ring of Famers that are not, you know? So, you know, there's a high threshold. There's a high bar that you have to meet in order to go into the Ring of Fame. It's just tough. That's all it is.
Ed feels weird, though. Ed feels so weird. It feels like it's almost, and I definitely do not know this whatsoever, but it feels personal for some reason.
Between him and who?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question. but I don't get it. Core player, I mean, and Ed didn't play 8 years. How many years did Ed? Well, geez, did he? How many years was Ed on the Broncos?
Boy, I don't know. I'll look it up here.
But think about this for a second. Ed's a core player. Him and Rod are the starting wide receivers. They win two Super Bowls. He catches more than 100 receptions, I think, in back-to-back years.
He was 8 years with the Broncos.
He's 8 years, yes.
Yep.
8 years, core player, Super Bowl champion, you're in. Jeez, what are we talking about here? This is not that difficult, people.
You know what? I mean, the way you sell that, it certainly makes sense, and that would apply directly towards Derek Wolfe. You know, played 8 years, won a Super Bowl.
Yes, as a core player.
I mean, not just as a core player. I mean, he was a special player. You know, like there's guys that can play 7 or 8 years, and they're just kind of on the team. But, I mean,
right.
Derek Wolfe was a star.
Correct. And he was a native Bronco. He was drafted by the Broncos. There is nothing to think about here, and I've seen a lot of people. Boy, I was surprised by how many people were like the anti-Derek Wolfe going to the Ring of Fame.
You know,
it's the Ring of Fame, not the Hall of Fame. Give me a break.
The only thing I could credit that to would be, man, it's just living in the moment, and the fan base, every single time somebody leaves town, there is a huge contingency of the fan base that is mad at that player. No matter what the circumstance are, it just happens. That's the only thing that I could think of because, I mean, logically, outside of that, especially when you think about the contributions that he's made towards Von Miller himself, man, what else would that guy have to do?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. Win another Super Bowl? I mean, you know, that's silly. You know, so... By the way, the Shelby Harris.
What about Trevor Price? I mean, Trevor Price would be in that category.
Yeah. Why isn't Trevor Price in the Ring of Fame? Trevor Price should never have left here in the first place.
Elvis Dumervil, is he eligible yet?
Didn't win a Super Bowl. But so I don't know about Elvis. Not sure. I'd have to look at things more closely. The win in the Super Bowl thing is a big deal.
Yeah, for sure it is. Yeah, for sure.
Like Al Wilson, it's like, And I know there were other sketchy things with Al in the club, but I think most of that's been settled. But didn't win a Super Bowl with Al Wilson. So, I don't know, dude. 8 years, core player, meaning you play, you're a starter, and you're on a Super Bowl winning team. I mean, how many guys are we even talking about here? Who else are we talking
from the
about?
Okay, let's talk about the Super Bowl team. Guys that should be Ring of Famers, right?
Okay.
You got Peyton Manning. You got Von Miller.
Yep.
You got Chris Harris. You got Derek Wolfe. See, it's too many. It's just too many.
No,
we haven't even dude, we haven't even thought. Are you just going to throw five or six guys in there? Who else am I missing there? Is Aqib wasn't here long enough.
Aqib.
Wait, did I say DeMarcus Ware?
DeMarcus Ware doesn't go in the Ring of Fame.
Well, if Peyton Manning does, why not D. Ware?
First of all, he only played 2 years. Peyton was here for 4 years. And as great of a leader as he was, there was not enough. No way. That's ridiculous.
Okay.
That's silly.
Okay, fair enough. Offensively, you had Demaryius Thomas.
No doubt, of course.
No doubt. So now we're at six, right?
Okay. So we're at six.
Anybody else on offense? I don't think so.
C.J. Anderson?
No.
C.J. was a big part of that team, though, man. He's a big part of that team.
Yeah, I guess being a big part of that team isn't enough, though.
You know, Brandon McManus, is he going to go in the Ring of Fame?
Oh, good question. Good question.
He should.
I suppose if he continues to play out his career here in Denver, more than likely he should be one of the guys that would be eligible, yeah.
I don't know. It feels like a silly thing. I mean... Like, for example, a guy who wouldn't go into the Ring of Fame.
Like for real, D-Mac, you can't put six guys off one season into the Ring of Fame.
I think you could because there's so many guys for other seasons that would never go that just aren't in the conversation whatsoever. Is Malik Jackson going in the Ring of Fame? No. But was he unbelievably important during that Super Bowl run? Yes. But he ain't going. I wouldn't advocate for him. He wasn't here long enough. But he made that choice.
Yeah.
You know, he could have stuck around if he really wanted to. He didn't want to. So there has to be some sort of reward for the fact that you were with the team for a certain period of time, don't you think?
I don't know. I don't know. See, that's why I said the 10-year mark might have put him over the top. You know, you get
well,
to 10 years. Look, D-Mac, I mean,
of course.
There's something about the 10-year mark that just feels nostalgic. It feels
special,
right?
I mean, who
plays
for 10 years for one team?
I know. So if he had played 10 years, I think it was a no-brainer. And right now, I think it's a little bit of a tough sell, mostly because the company that he kept, mostly because all the guys that are on that team. I mean, go through those guys. Who are the absolute locks of those guys?
Locks on the Super Bowl team.
Yes.
Locks are Peyton Manning, Von Miller, locks. Chris
yep.
Harris.
Chris Harris is a lock.
Lock. Demaryius Thomas, that's four. That's four locks.
Okay, you got four.
And then, to me, five would be Derek.
And then we mentioned Brandon McManus as well.
And Brandon McManus, yes. Six.
That feels like a huge number, D-Mac.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you argue with any of those guys. They were so – they all are rooted in deep Broncos history. I mean, listen, there's just some no-doubters. The first four we mentioned are like – it's forget it.
Yeah, you can't even think about it.
No,
those guys are just in.
No, DT, Chris Harris, Peyton Manning. Oh, who's the other
Von
one?
Von Miller.
There's nothing to talk about. I mean, zero to talk about. So I don't know. If you have to wait a couple years for Derek or whatever, fine. But eventually.
See, I wonder if we went back and looked at the first two Super Bowl teams, if that's what happened to Ed McCaffrey. If there were just too many names.
I cannot explain Ed McCaffrey. I do not get it. I don't understand it. He clearly should be in there. I don't know. Mike Shanahan should be in there. What are we waiting for Mike?
No, there's no doubt about that one.
How long has it been since Mike hasn't coached?
Enough years. I know that. I think what's the minimum? 4 years?
I don't even know. And the whole, like, I'm sure they – whatever. All right, you know, this is silly. I'm moving on because there's other stuff.
Right.
There's other stuff to get into. Did you read Kliss's article about Philip Lindsay?
I did. Talk to us about it.
Well, got a little birdie who told me that Philip wasn't happy. Okay? Which makes sense, right?
Post-trade, we're talking.
Yeah, after Melvin Gordon got
Yeah,
here.
Of course.
Right. So, and then the birdie was telling me other stuff, and I was like, I don't know about that other stuff. So I call up Kliss, and I go, Mike, I'm hearing this. What are you hearing? And Mike goes, D-Mac, let me make some calls. And he made some calls, and you saw the article. And what the article is basically saying, and there's a lot of quotes from Philip Lindsay in there. And Philip sounds very, I want to compete for the job, right?
Yeah, of course.
However, that's not what's going to happen. You know, there's nothing Philip Lindsay can do in terms of competing for the job. The job's already been given to Melvin Gordon. It came with a paycheck. That's already going to happen.
Well, there's nothing he can do until there's an opportunity, until Melvin Gordon misses a game, until Melvin has two straight games. You know, there might be an opportunity that pops up at some point in the season that is a legitimate chance to go steal the starting job, but there won't be one until there's a reason, you know?
Right. So now there's a lot of reading between the lines going on. This is where you got to put on your reading between the lines hat, okay? Our guy, Rod Sharon, our program director, came up with a statistical research study showing how Pat Shurmur uses his running backs. How would you, we talked about it last week, but Tyler, just to recap, how would you describe how Pat Shurmur uses his running backs?
Centerpiece of the offense entirely. Number one, we talk about all the ways that he throws the ball to his running back, but he gives them plenty of carries. They are the identity of the team. They're going to be the workhorse. He likes to have one guy. He's drafted multiple running backs in the top three. You know, he's the type of guy that looks at a big name at the running back and says, this is going to be the centerpiece of everything I do. And when you're talking offensively in an offense where you don't have tight ends playing next to your offensive lineman, when you don't have a fullback in the game, so you're running empty personnel and you're trying to run the football out of that, you dang sure better have a good running back, because if you don't, you don't have all the bodies and you don't have the opportunity to create the holes, right? So, you know, you can get away with an average running back if you got a tight end on the field and you got a fullback on the field and you just can get all those maulers out there. But without those guys, you got to have one feature guy that's capable of making holes for himself.
So it's not really 1A and 1B like A, B, A, B. Like we talked about it, it's A, 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 B, BBBAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAA
every single year that he's been in charge, you'll look at the number one running back and you look at the number two running back and you look in the difference of carries, and it averages out very closely to around 75% for the number one guy and about 25% for the number two guy.
So my little birdie reaches out and says, Philip was really upset and wants to be traded. And I was like,
whoa, right? Wants to be traded.
Like, was demanding to be traded.
Wow.
And that is not the case. I'm saying right now, that is not the case.
Oh, gosh. Give me a heart attack
My birdie. Well,
you should have led with that part.
My birdie wasn't right on that. However, what my birdie was right about, as I read, you know, Mike's article, is that John Elway and Mike McCartney, Philip Lindsay's
agent,
did have a conversation over the weekend after the deal got done. When did the deal get done? It was about a week ago.
Over a week now.
All right, so it was whatever, the Saturday after it was done, whenever it was done. And the conversation, as you know, Mike talks about in the article, is along the lines of what's going on here? You know, what's happening here? What are you doing
Not anything about money. Now it's turned to what are you doing with my client on the field?
I don't know if it had, you know, I think money's always involved with everything.
Oh, okay. Maybe. So, maybe not in a situation like this, though.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe. But there wasn't a trade demand. That's probably the most important thing to note.
Okay.
There wasn't a you better trade me. But I was thinking about it more and more, Tyler.
Well, did he express unhappiness?
I think that would be
implied, of course.
Yeah, I think it would be. Listen. I think agents have learned when dealing with John Elway, you got to be careful about stuff. You know, you don't want to be demanding things. You don't want to get into some sort of contest. And that's not happening with Philip Lindsay and his agent, right? It's not happening. But John's a tough dude. John will negotiate in a tough way. And I don't think Mike McCartney or Philip Lindsay has any interest in getting into some sort of I don't think Philip wants to crop John out of pictures like Vaughn did. Remember all that, you know, stuff going on?
I'll never forget, D-Mac.
Right.
And then he reappeared in the picture after the deal got signed. That was the best part.
It's nothing like that. But here's the truth of it. If you're only going to use Philip Lindsay as a role player, you know, you could just trade Philip Lindsay if you wanted to. And, you know.
Okay, well, I mean, if we're going to legitimately entertain that conversation, what's the value? What do you get for Philip Lindsay at this point?
I don't think much. Everything is
about.
Give
me a round. Give me a number.
Sixth-round pick?
Oh, stop. Then that's just ridiculous. I mean, if that's really what it is, I think it's more than that, D-Mac.
All right, let me ask you this. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. How many teams in the league is Philip Lindsay the number one featured back on?
Oh, great question. I don't know. Let me do a quick NFL starting running back Google search.
All right. Well, we can take some time on it, and we can talk about it more as the day goes on. So it was interesting to hear that Philip Lindsay's agent talked to Elway. They had a good conversation. There wasn't a trade demand, but it's fair to say the only reason Philip Lindsay's agent would talk to John, this is common sense, is that they weren't thrilled about what's going on, and they're wondering, is there more, Tyler? And this is where the Broncos got themselves in a sticky situation because of Chris Harris, right? You did set an interesting precedent, correct? You set this precedent of, well, why don't you just give us more money because we're good?
Well, you know what? But Chris had leverage that Philip does not right now.
That's true too. You're right. What's Philip going to do? Sit out? Come on.
Right.
That would be ridiculous. And he's not threatening that. He's not threatening that. But when I hear everybody say, do right by Philip, There's three things that you could do right by Phillip. Tyler, three things. One, trade him. You could trade him. That'd be doing right by Phillip. Two, do a new deal with him. You could do it if you wanted to. Do a new contract with them. Say, 2-year, $7 million deal. Something like that. Okay? Or three, Chris Harrison. Which, of course, is ridiculous. But those are the three things you could do. But there's another twist to the Phillip Lindsay story that nobody's really talking about. And I'll have that for you coming up. In addition, Sean Payton's doing something cool that the Broncos would be smart to replicate. Details with the water cooler next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Well, Tyler, did you catch this? Sean Payton opened up the Saints playbook on Twitter. So, gun empty, right Quizno, 52 all go, special X shallow cross 4. I don't even know if I said that. Probably not.
Probably
gun empty,
not.
RT would...
Okay, hold on. Say it again.
Gun empty, right Quizno.
Okay.
52 all go, special X shallow cross.
Okay, gun right. Is the formation
gun empty?
Then what came next?
RT Quizno. So I'm assuming.
Well, I'm assuming the RT is the right part for the strength of the formation.
Right.
Then I have no idea what Quizno means. 52 is the protection, more than likely a pocket protection. So the O line's got the four down in the mic, and then the routes came after that.
X shallow cross.
Yeah.
How'd I do? Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the play.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Gun empty right Quizno. 52 all go special X shallow. Oh, that's the same play. Why is that?
It sounds awfully familiar.
Here he explains. We use sandwich terms for tight splits.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Okay.
So JJ is Jimmy John's. Club stack Quizno. JJ club stack and Quizno. Oh my god. Just I can see why going from one team to another, dude, sucks.
Yeah.
Like it's all the same plays, but it's like I gotta learn Quiznos.
That's why when you're talking about quarterbacks in particular, man, when they go to a new system and they gotta learn a new language, oh dude, it's learning French. You're starting all over.
Yeah.
You know, position players, it's not so bad because you gotta learn what your one specific word in that play call means. Like in that play call, the only thing that means anything to offensive linemen is 52. That's it. Okay. That's our protection call. But as a quarterback, having to know what all those words mean, dude, it's a beast.
So it's basically a pass play with four throwing options.
Yeah. So when he talks about tight formation, that's like what we used to have last year under Rich Scangarello, where we would have a bunch of guys up tight and a bunch formation. That's what we are not going to have this year under Pat Shurmur. I mean, this year under Pat Shurmur, it's going to be everything spread out.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could just say, hey, we're going to throw it to Michael Thomas again on two. Let's go.
Right, right.
So should the Broncos do something like this? Would that be a cool thing for the Broncos to get on?
Oh, man, I would love it. I mean, yeah, it's not giving away any sort of competitive advantage. He didn't put his entire playbook on the internet,
no,
right?
No, it's one play.
Yeah, he's given, like, one little snapshot of something. It's fun. It's not going to give anything away. And I would love it because it would teach us the verbiage that Pat Shurmur's going to be using. And quite frankly, I'm not entirely sure which one he's going to use. I think it's going to be West Coast verbiage, but he's bounced around so much that I don't know what he's picked up by now.
Well, I did talk to the Broncos today, and I know Vic Fangio, for a fact, has heard about what Sean Payton has done. But I don't think this is up Vic's alley. I think Vic's up for stuff. By the way, I was told, too, that the Broncos, in terms of Twitter and Instagram, are like one of the top two teams in the entire NFL.
Is that right?
In terms of whatever, views or clicks or whatever. So
okay, they good for them, man. Yeah. They've got a fantastic social media team. I know that. They put out beautiful art every single time. I'm serious. Like, all the photography is always beautiful, and it's easy to retweet. Yeah, I think they do a great job on the internet.
Yeah, I saw Vic making the spaghetti and meatballs. That was kind of fun, right?
You know,
it was funny. When I saw that video, I was like, who's shooting the video?
You know who would be an absolute blast to learn his verbiage would be Peyton Manning. I mean, I mean, we used to have so many play calls, and they were all so creative. You know, like we would have a Top Gun package, which was kind of like our on the ball, get it going type of package, and everything came out of Top Gun characters. So
like Goose and Iceman stuff like that.
Yeah, so like Hollywood and Maverick was the slide protection for the offensive line.
That's
great. You've got the L and the R in there, right? So that usually says whether you're going right or left. But in Peyton's world, everything had to be a little bit more complicated, right? So the L meant go right, the R meant go left. We had, you know, it was a great one. We had Pacquiao and Tyson. Okay, so they were both screenplays.
Okay.
So they're the exact same play, and it's a screen. Which
okay.
one is which? Which is Pacquiao? Which one is going which direction?
All right. Which is going which direction? I was thinking big and small. I would say Tyson's going right, Pacquiao's going left.
And why is that, D-Mac?
I think the style of fighter they are.
What style of fighter?
Wow, southpaw, lefty,
there
Pacquiao.
You go. There you go.
Is that it?
That's exactly what it is.
Wow,
yes.
I'm a genius.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Right? So that would be screen right or that would be screen left. Dude,
oh, that's too funny.
He would take it so deep that he didn't want to call out like a middle linebacker's number, you know, because then the middle linebacker knows that that's the number. So he would relate it to some famous player that we all knew what number he was. He would be like, hey, Buckus is the mic. Buckus is the mic.
Is he just guessing that defensive players are stupid and they don't know what number Dick Buckus had?
Yes, that's exactly. I mean, they are stupid, D-Mac. They can't figure all that out.
Who's he talking about?
Right.
I don't know.
Wait, what number do I wear?
What number do I have? I'm the mic, hey, not Nick Butkus.
At least it makes it a whole lot more complicated than saying 52 is the mic.
Well, but doesn't everybody know who the mic is? I mean,
they don't. Especially the offense has a key on that for sure because we know the formation. The defense doesn't always.
Well, how would know? Wait. How did you guys know who Dick Butkus was?
Okay, so does everybody know, like, if you know what you're doing, yes, you know what it is. But if you walk up there, there will be times where the same linebacker has walked out. You only got two linebackers in the box, and you got to confirm, you know, which way was the strength, which way did the Sam walk, right? So if the Sam walked to the left side, then it's going to be the middle linebackers in between those two guys, right? So, I mean, okay. not super complicated stuff, but there were times that it would get a little bit hairy.
Yeah, but again, how did you guys know who Dick Butkus was? How does he know that?
Because every single week he would prepare who the team was that we were playing, right? And
yeah.
We would know specifically what those linebackers were. We would know specifically what their numbers were.
He would tell you.
And throughout the week, we would use that name during practice.
Oh, too funny. I got it. I'm sure there are a lot of young football players who had Dick Butkus.
No. He's not out there just freestyling on game day, coming up with names that nobody knows what it is. Like Peyton, I'm sorry, I don't do Peyton's places. I don't know all the history of the NFL, man.
Red Grange is the mic. Red Grange is the mic.
Red 7. What does that mean?
Right, right. Dude, that's funny. Those are great stories, man. I love those stories. Okay, Philip Lindsay. I've been doing some double checking, even though we've been on the air during the breaks. I've checked a few things out. I'm good to go. And I can give you a little of the inside poop with Philip Lindsay's state of mind these days. How about that?
Can't wait.
Okay. And what might be the best deal for him? And the best deal for him, Tyler, is not the best deal for the Broncos. Details next.
104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and T-Mac.
All right, Tyler. How you doing, by the way? You all right?
I'm doing good, man. Yeah, we're weathering the storm out in our house. It's all good, man.
Yeah.
You got any teenage drama over there?
Well, this is the first day of, like, school being officially, like, going again. But I thought they were going to do, like, live classes, but apparently that is... Oh, now I'm getting an email from the school.
Oh, I'm sure part of it is part of it is live, and a huge amount of it is just like some sort of coursework.
Hold on. I'm getting a note. Okay, never mind. I'm getting a note from the high school, and I see missing. It says missing you Monday. And instantly I think, how did my kid skip a class if there's no way to go into the school? Like, he got caught again. But it's just like a nice, like...
Son, it's been one day. You're already in trouble again. Did you get him to stop hanging around all his friends yet?
That's kind of... It sucks, man. It sucks for all these teenagers and these kids that are used to having a certain amount of freedom. It sucks for everybody. But the senior class especially. And, you know, we have our senior salute going on, and we're trying to get the word out as much as humanly possible to go to our website, 1043thefan.com, and nominate your senior for a senior salute. So hopefully people pay attention to that.
Yeah, well, seriously, let's jump on this, guys, because this is a lot of fun. I think it's a great idea right now. So many kids are missing out on sports, on school, on after-school events.
Yeah.
And let's take a chance. Let's take a moment. Send in to us what your kids have done, what they're going through, and why you feel like we should spotlight them. And let's shine a light on some cool things in a tough moment.
I send it out there. And, you know, listen, I'm just connected to a few people in my area. And somebody was like, oh, you just want Cherry Creek School District. And I go, no, we want everybody.
Just happens to be the one that I've got easy access to.
Right. It's just it's where I live and who I know. But no, Douglas County, Jefferson County, Boulder County, Denver County, Gilpin County, Pitkin County, Eagle County, who cares? Everybody. You know, and if there's a way to spread that message, El Paso County, we want to spread it. We want to get it out there. All right. Impressed with how many counties I know?
Yeah, dude, that was very impressive. I mean, do you actually know where they all are?
Yeah, I know where those are.
Yeah, other good for than you. That,
right? Not sure where La Junta is, but I'd love to, you know, figure out some kid from La Junta or a kid from Craig or a kid from Sterling.
And tell us where La Junta is. Where it
La Junta's out east. It's headed towards Nebraska, Kansas, that area. Go that way. So draw a triangle between Denver, Colorado Springs, and then triangulate it out. That's not a word.
Which direction? The triangle can go either direction.
To the east.
Thank you.
To the east. Philip Lindsay. Okay. Mike Liss has written a big article about it. He's talked to Philip Lindsay. Philip wasn't happy. Okay? Makes sense, right? Why would he be happy?
Yeah.
He wasn't happy.
Of course not.
So, it's a confusing time, too, because... Where exactly do I fit? Also, I'll let you know this, Tyler. Philip is very, very aware that he has to work on being a pass catcher. He doesn't, it's not a speculative sort of thing. He knows that he has to be better at that.
He's been working on it all offseason, allegedly, right? He's looking forward to working out with Christian McCaffrey. Now, I don't know if he's had a chance to work out with any of these guys with everything going on, but. Going into the offseason, we knew he was going to prioritize it.
So everybody was out there. And by the way, Mike Evans is a trip.
You know, I heard those two goons going off this morning.
Did
and
you believe that?
No, you know, part of it was the pride. Like, it was a misleading promo. It was just a misleading promo. I could see why they jumped on it, if I'm being fair. I mean, can you at least give them that or no?
I guess if the only thing you're listening to is the promo.
I mean, you know, sometimes context is everything, D-Mac.
You know, I get it. Mike's just willy-nilly taking days off for whatever reason. But, I mean, yeah, if you just – listen, we have two misleading promos, I guess, because we got this promo about Cam Newton.
Oh, no, you really said that one.
Well, I was asking a question about it.
No, you really said it.
Tyler, do you really think I want Cam Newton to be the starting quarterback here? Do you really think that?
You want all available options, the best quarterbacks that are available, because competition is nothing that Drew Lock should be afraid of.
Lord almighty.
How did I nailed it. I just nailed it.
I want to get into the Phillip Lindsay here thing, so you're not going to distract me.
I'm sorry for not having your back,
Evans,
partner.
Evans was in the deep end with like a 50-pound weight around his neck, you know, talking about us wanting to give Phillip Lindsay money and whatever he was saying.
I heard those goons. I wanted to call in.
Yeah, it was craziness. And I guess we've got some sort of promo running that what we're saying, I know what the promo is. I just heard it. The concept is, does it feel a little awkward with Phillip Lindsay in this situation when punters and, you know, backup pass rushers and the ball boy are all making more money than Phillip Lindsay? And, yeah, that is the answer.
Well, the funny part is, like, you know, at the tail end of that promo, I jump on and I'm like, all right, just give it to Phillip. Give him whatever's remaining.
Yeah,
it was completely
joke.
In jest.
Right.
It was like making fun of the situation.
Right.
Oh,
holy cow.
Who's this on?
We're going to have Mike on, and we're going to yell at Mike in about an hour or so. So we'll straighten that out. But that being said about Phillip, so – you know, his agent goes and talks with John Elway and not demanding any kind of trade or anything. But the question is, what's fair for Phillip? Okay, so let me ask you, what do you think is fair for Phillip based on what he's accomplished so far for the Broncos?
Oh, listen, dude, fair is not a word that is appropriate when talking about football.
So and nothing. Zero.
Fair is not used in the NFL. And it never has been and never will be. The league will always look for ways to, kind of run you over. The team will always look for ways to replace you. They are constantly, I mean, their job, literally the definition of their job, a GM's job is to find a player that is better than you. That's his job every single year, and that's never going to go away. So the word fair is not one that we can even use in this conversation.
So it's kind of like Jerry Maguire with Rod Tidwell, just like you just got to play it out. Play it out, Rod, and then show me the money.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, for Phillip in particular, dude, what do you think they're going to do? You think they're going to go out and give Melvin Gordon a two-year, $16 million deal? They're going to guarantee that he's going to be the workhorse. Pat Shurmur gives him the ball 75% of the time, according to his history. Do you think they're going to go out and give another contract to Phil? Unfortunately, dude, and I've got every confidence in the world that Phillip will go out and earn a new contract, because that's just Phillip Lindsay. Quite frankly, Melvin Gordon is one sprained ankle away from Phillip Lindsay being a legitimate threat to his job. However, all that being said, there is no chance that he's going to get it this year, so he has to go out there and earn a new contract by the time he hits free agency.
You know what's funny, though? You know what I bet is going on? Betting. I betcha that the Chris Harris situation is being brought up. It's a guess, okay? It's a guess.
By Phillip's side, you mean?
Of course! Yeah. Of course! Why wouldn't it be? It's a guess. But I think that's the situation that, and not just, by the way, not
but,
just.
But D-Mac, what leverage does his camp have?
Nothing.
Right.
But what leverage did Chris Harris have?
A lot. I mean, he had a lot. He could not play football, and then you're down your starting corner, right? That is a lot of leverage. I mean, if Phillip Lindsay threatens to sit out, you lose your backup running back right now?
Okay. All right. Because that's what he is, right? He's your backup running back.
Unfortunately, this sounds a little bit rash, but yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good point. But still, not only Phillip Lindsay's agent, you don't think every agent for every player on the Bronco at some point is going to say, well, you did this for Chris Harris. Well, what about my guy? But I see what you're saying. Unless your guy is really as valuable as Chris Harris, then you don't have much leverage anyways.
Correct. I mean, the player will always have to have something over the team if they're going to get money.
But you know what, dude? It does not stop the player from thinking that.
You're right. You're right. And you know what? It set a dangerous tone for players to think that it is a reasonable expectation when it's never been a reasonable expectation in the history of the NFL on any team.
So now the player's thinking that. And what's going on? He's sitting in his locker. He may be griping. And, you know, for Philip, it's a weird situation. He is in a unique situation because he's from here. So he's got family members here, friends here. And, you know, man, stuff spreads like wildfire sometimes, Tyler. I mean, this is how the ball got rolling on this one.
Of course it does.
I had a dude reach out to me. Well, I don't know. And
you know what, D-Mac, though? The bigger the circle, the more careful you have to be with what the message is. Because there's a lot of people that think they're friends with Philip Lindsay, and there's a lot of people that think that they know what his mindset is, right?
Right.
If he was living in another city where he doesn't have a circle like that, the information that comes out, well, that's a little bit more trustworthy.
All right. Good points all in all. Everything's fine. By the way, I should tell you this. So, you know what? I'll save it. It's interesting to find out how things are being communicated. So I'll let you in on like that end of things. Once an agent and John Elway talk, where it goes from there. Details for you about that next with Football at 4.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.